progress, recording in progress, recording in process. It's Picanol. Hey, everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. You're not going to get that last joke unless you live in the Atlanta market and watch television, but that's fine. Most of you do. Though I saw we had a couple of listeners in Alaska. I was looking at the breakouts and everything. This is season 7, episode 6, and we are recording this prior to the Super Bowl. So let me tell you a couple things. Let me tell you a couple of three things. We're going to talk about all the shows that we watch a little bit more in detail next week. Hopefully Steph will be returning to join us to talk about, The Mandalorian, which had an amazing, that was the final episode was this week, right? 7?
Yeah.
Of the book. Did I say The Mandalorian?
Oh, yeah, Book of Boba Fett.
Okay. Book of Mandalorian Fett.
Yeah. Mando Fett.
Also known as Rancorzilla. It was a really cool episode with a lot of fighting in it, the final episode, and the resolution that I was hoping for that Jeff spoiled early in the morning.
I didn't spoil it.
Well, come on. You knew you wouldn't tweet about it unless he'd made – you just said, like, he made a decision. We're not going to tell you what that decision was.
That's what I said.
Right, but, you know, he wouldn't have tweeted about it if he had made the wrong choice. Gone with douchebag.
There was no wrong choice.
Yes, there was. He could have gone with virtual Luke and, you know, become a humorless prick. No wonder all the Jedi's tried to kill him and Ben Solo got mad at him.
And now R2's driving Gruber.
Did you make that up or did you see it?
No, I made it up.
That's
I made up the Gruber joke when Grogu first came out, but now it's applicable.
Yes, absolutely. They got fucking R2. Why couldn't Luke fly there? Was he too busy having the robot ants build his temple that's eventually going to blow up? That's the problem with prequel type stuff. But what a really cool episode. And we will talk more about it. Rest in peace to certain people that I thought had lived. But anyway.
Nobody's really dead in the Star Wars universe.
Well, Palpatine. Oh, wait. You know, the one character that I could care less about is this Ahsoka. I really don't care about that character. And the reason I don't is because I haven't watched all those.
You got to watch the animated series.
The Rebels I thought was really good. Clone Wars, I tried to get into it, but it's just there's too much. I'll never be able to watch all 8, 9 seasons of that show. But it is good. I'm not knocking it. So we're going to talk a little bit more about, hopefully, by the way, the other show that we all watch. There's a lot of shows that we're all watching together. We were watching The Righteous Gemstones, which was ended on a cliffhanger. We'll find out. Resident Alien continues to be one of the funniest shows on television. If you're not watching it, I think you need to try. Give it a shot. Don't be like me and wait an entire season and go, I'm not going to watch it. And then go, oh, my God, I got to watch all of this. It's a very good show.
Sheriff has grown on me. I hated him at first, but I love him now.
Yeah, I didn't like him at first either, but he is fantastic. I love that character. He's a good actor, too, that's playing that role. Was he on The Walking Dead?
I don't know where he came from. It looks like he has a familiar face, like I've seen him somewhere before, but...
Yeah, I have that feeling, too. He just strikes me as somebody that... Corey Reynolds is the actor's name, so what has he been in? He's 47, so he's been in an awful lot of stuff. Let's see. I'm going to his Wikipedia right now. He's been in a ton of stuff, but not necessarily The Walking Dead. Okay. I thought he was in that. He was in Straight Outta Compton, so I must have met him. Caitlin and I must have met him when we interviewed all those guys.
Nice.
He's a great actor. The two characters, the sheriff and the deputy, they're both really, really good.
Yeah, she's hilarious, too.
But this week we're going to talk about Cincinnati. Why? Because the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. And that game, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, which is Saturday, then the Super Bowl is tomorrow. If you're listening to it on Sunday, the Super Bowl is today. If you're listening to it on Monday, then, well, good luck to whichever team you supported. And I hope you made a lot of money because you can gamble on sports now, which is bizarre to me that they actually encourage people to gamble.
You can sports bet all you want, but don't play online poker for money.
You can't play online poker for money. No. Well, who do you think lobbies against that?
I don't know, but whoever it is, they need to hire the people that did sports betting.
Look, you know, only bet with what you have, according to Steve Mariucci. The NFL does that real quick PSA with Steve Mariucci writing shit on a chalkboard. That's their little way of saying, drink responsibly. but we are going to be talking about Cincinnati Bengals, and also WKRP in Cincinnati. We have returned guests, Alan and Donna Stare from the WKRP cast, which you can find on any of your favorite podcast apps, wherever you listen to podcasts. In case you missed it, our first interview with them, I believe, was right after they had just started their show. And that was from last season, season 6, episode 5, last January. So you can find it if you didn't have a chance to listen. They're a really cool couple. They do this really cool podcast. They do an episode-based serial podcast from every episode of WKRP in Cincinnati. And because we lost one of the biggest iconic cast members from that show about a week and a half ago, we lost Howard Hessman. And here's a photo that I have signed. And also
Ronnie Anderson.
And here it says, Tim, good luck forever, Howard Hessman. And he wrote the doctor on his arm in a little
nice
ink tattoo. And Lonnie Anderson said, love. Ooh.
You Eskimo brothers with Burt Reynolds now.
Only, yeah, Sally Field. That's gross. I don't like that term. And by the way, Eskimo.
It's not the preferred nomenclature.
That ain't legal neither. So they're going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about their tribute show that's coming up for Howard Hessman. The late, great Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP in Cincinnati. Jeff and I got to interview one of our biggest heroes in the world of cartoons and voiceovers and radio. And gosh, you name it. Billy West spent about 45 minutes with us. And I didn't know how long we were going to have with him, but we talked for quite a while. And he talked about, you know, growing up and some of his heroes. And we talked about being on Gilbert's podcast. Gilbert Gottfried's not my son. He will have a son, a podcast though, my son, Gilbert. We're working on year one. And right now he's keeping a journal. But now, Jeff, we had a great time with him, didn't we?
Yeah. And he blessed your George Takei impersonation.
He did. Did you get the feeling that he was like, oh, this guy's just trying to do impressions and it's going to suck? No, I got an actual... He thought that was good, and I do my Bill Macy. And if you don't know who Bill Macy is, Bill Macy was Maude's husband, and he was also, was he a regular on My Name is Earl?
I don't remember what a lot of stuff he was in after Maude, but he was all over the place.
He was on My Name is Earl at least one episode. You know, I love that show. I wonder why that got canceled. Perhaps nobody watched it. But, and you know, Bill Macy, I'm not going to do it right now. Oh, come on, Maude! Bill Macy's was Maude's husband.
Yeah.
And he liked that, but he also liked my George Takei. He said, wow, you sound just like him. And that made me happy. But overall, it was just great to speak to one of our heroes and have him enjoy himself and spend some time with us. So look for that next Wednesday.
Futurama's coming back, too. He didn't tell us.
Yeah, we asked him about it, right? We even asked him about it. He goes, I don't know. But he knew, and he didn't let on. See if you can find the facial. See if you can find him almost betraying himself. When we talk to him, but that'll be out Wednesday, and you can enjoy that. Hopefully you will as much as we did. Now, I put up a thing on Patreon, and I'm going to kick myself for this and then openly admit to it. We want to be more engaging with Patreon because there's a lot of members still, and we're having a lot of guests. And one thing that I've slacked on was being able to let you guys be a part of the conversation when we talk to people. And I put the post up, and Roby had sent me a couple of questions. That's Roby Neely, one of our great supporters. He also works diligently to edit Mike TV when Lisa and Dean, you know, put out an episode. Roby does all the editing, and he's a hard worker. And I want to apologize to Roby and say
we kind of asked a couple of his questions in the conversation, but we didn't.
We didn't
ask him about like roles he lost out on.
Right. And then we ran out of time. So I apologize. And again, we'll be more diligent about that. But I wanted to let you know. And hey, listen, if you want to go over there and sign up, Patreon is patreon.com/Tim Andrews. There's all different tiers. We'll be a little more specific as to what we're changing and bringing to the table in the future. And that'll be very, very soon. And I want to thank Jeff Richards, our guest for Radio Labyrinth Presents last week. The actor, comedian, does really, really good impressions. We had fun talking to him as well. So thank him. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that or view it on YouTube, just go check it out.
Super Bowl.
This is Super Bowl.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl.
Football.
Yep, they're doing that.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, please, and step on it.
Super Bowl time.
Super Bowl 56. Now, the two teams that are playing it are the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. And anybody think at the beginning of the season that the Cincinnati Bengals would make it all the way to the Super Bowl this year with Joe Burrow, their quarterback? I didn't.
It's because they got OBJ.
Oh, yes. It is because they got Jeff's. No, he left the Rams. He was on the Bengals, and then he ended up on the Rams. Wow.
They got that first pick like 2 years ago, and then last year they won like five games. Mm-hmm. I mean, to turn around and then, you know, head straight to the Super Bowl the next year, that's huge.
Yeah, and the Rams, now they have a, you know, it's really big deal to people who support UGA and don't give a damn about either team in a Super Bowl, because Matt Stafford is a UGA grad, ended up going to the sorry-ass Lions. Sorry, Steph, and playing with the Lions for a bunch of years and never, ever doing anything, which isn't his fault because all he had was Georgia Tech wide receiver Megatron to throw to. And, you know, the Lions have never really put forth a serious team, at least in my lifetime. But this year you have the Rams going in and you have them playing the Bengals. And Los Angeles pretty much bought their team, so we'll have to see. I have a prediction for the score, and my prediction is the Rams 44 and the Bengals 18.
What? Get out of here.
I don't think the Bengals are gonna do very well in the game. I hope they do. I'm rooting for the Bengals because I root for the AFC always over the NFC.
I just want the Bengals to win so Boomer Esiason can go away.
Why would he go away?
He won't be relevant anymore.
He's not relevant now, except for I love Boomer though. You don't like Boomer?
Yeah.
You think he's a poor man's Phil Simms?
Yeah.
Phil Simms won a couple Super Bowls. Boomer didn't win any, but Boomer was in the Super Bowl. The last time the Bengals are, well, anyway, your prediction. Do you guys have predictions?
Nah, I think the Rams will win, but I wouldn't mind if either team won.
How about you, Doug?
I hope the Bengals win. It'd be nice if they did, just for a nice Cinderella story out of, because that would be literally out of nowhere. Nobody expected that at the first of the season.
Right. Although he could end up being the next Tom Brady. I don't think there's a vacancy. No, I'm saying that I don't think they have that kind of organization that they have.
And nobody's going to play 22 seasons.
No, and not like Bill Belichick. They don't have any of that. Either of you guys going to have a Super Bowl party or go to a Super Bowl party?
Nope.
No.
I'm going to have a Superb Owl party, though.
Superb Owl, which is a great line from, what's that from?
What We Do in the Shadows.
That's right. Jeff used to make this. We used to go to a party every year or have our own, and Jeff made this stuff. He called this, what'd you call it? The Super Bowl trail mix.
Yeah.
And it was the tastiest yet least least nutritious trail mix ever invented, but it was really, really good. Tell people what was in it.
It's just everything. You just put all sorts of shit in it. Trail mix and M&Ms and raisins.
He did it in a giant paper bag from the grocery store, and you could tell that it was going to be good because there was grease that would seep through the bag, and then you knew it was good. It had to marinate for, a couple days?
Yeah, if the paper turns clear, that's your window to weight gain.
Hi, everybody. Dustin, this shit was like, he made it early on, I think. Oh God, it must have been 98 or 99 after he moved down.
I used to make it all the time, every Super Bowl, but then it started becoming prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, I can imagine it was expensive to make. I remember one year you made it and you got so pissed by the second quarter, you left. That, of course, was when the Ravens and the Giants played in the Super Bowl. And boy, the Giants sure looked like they didn't belong there. All right, so the last time the Bengals were in the Super Bowl was January 22nd, 1989. That was Super Bowl 23. They played the San Francisco Giants and, of course, lost.
49ers.
What did I say?
Giants.
Yeah, okay.
You got baseball in the brain.
They played the baseball team and ended up winning. They played at Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami, which is no longer called Joe Robbie Stadium.
Pete Rose had a shit ton of money on that game.
Yeah, I know. Billy Joel sang the national anthem. Now, get this. Billy Joel sang the national anthem. Now, you're talking about We Didn't Start the Fire, Stormfront, that album.
He had hair then.
Yeah, he had hair then. And even then, he was old, but now, not like now when he's, old. But to us, he was old. The halftime show was by this group called Bebop Bamboozled with Elvis Presto.
Well, you don't follow them? They're fantastic.
Yeah, I think they went downhill.
I just rewatched that.
Do you know who the fuck they did it in 3D? It was Coca-Cola presented it. It was 3D.
Yeah, and the 3D glasses came in the Sunday edition of the paper the week before. So you had like two pairs in each paper. I remember that. Once I saw it again on YouTube, I was like, that's what that is. And it was crap. It was total crap.
I can pretty much guarantee that I didn't watch this game because more than likely I was at work. So if we're talking January 22nd, 1989, odds are I was working at Mark's Brothers restaurant in Mansfield and washing dishes, and it was probably super busy in there. Let's see. Yeah, Bebop Bamboozled with Elvis Presto. No thanks. The game was on NBC. The announcers were Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen. Underrated, they were the number one guys for NBC back when NBC had NFL football. NBC had, I believe they had the AFC back in the day. And those two were the big names. Those two were the big guys. That was their A team. And Merlin Olsen, you remember from Little House on the Prairie, and some, was he a monk or some shit? He was like a father. He was a monk on some show.
He was on Highway to Heaven.
No, that wasn't him.
That wasn't him?
No, Merlin Olsen was a football player who became an actor, and he was on Little House on the Prairie for a little bit. And then he had his own show where he played like a monk, and I don't remember it. But he ended up doing football and everything. 81.6 million viewers watched Super Bowl 23 and had a 43.5 share. Now that means 43.5 of the households in the United States were watching the game. A 30-second ad cost $675,000, which is a lot less than it costs now. And the NFL ranks Super Bowl 23 as the best of all time. Now, why do they do that? Because the 49ers had a fourth quarter comeback with a game-winning drive. Now, this may have changed after the Falcons, you know, blew it. But who knows? We don't like to remember that game. But the Falcons blew it for Brady. The 49ers were down 16-13. San Francisco got the ball on their own 8-yard line with 3 minutes left on the clock. They marched 92 yards down in under 3 minutes. They scored the winning touchdown on a Joe Montana pass to John Taylor with only 34 seconds left, which meant the Bengals had no chance. Now, if they had been playing the Kansas City Chiefs and they had 13 seconds left, then they would come back.
And we had a lifetime.
I think the Bills went out early in the playoffs, but I think they were starting to be a contender back then even. You know, then they would go on to lose the next four. How exciting that is.
That was the best Super Bowl ever when Norwood went wide right.
No, it wasn't. That was the worst Super Bowl ever.
That was the best Super Bowl ever.
Next year, and then the following 2 years. It was progressively worse. The only one of those Super Bowls that they should have really won, the Buffalo Bills, was the first one they were in against the Giants. Culturally, the number one song in the United States was Two Hearts by Phil Collins, which is an immemorable song. Terrible. I don't even remember how it goes. Number one at the box office was Rain Man with Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman. The top TV shows were The Cosby Show, Cheers, and Roseanne.
Wow.
All canceled.
Yeah. Cheers, just a show. Everybody in it's okay. And George H.W. Bush had been president for 2 days. Just 2 days. He was inaugurated on the 20th, 2 days before the Super Bowl. So that's pretty cool.
Nagada.
What's that?
Nagada.
Yeah, that Bush, not the one that you know, destroyed the economy in 2000. The five best Super Bowl commercials from that Super Bowl, according to USA Today and some stupid poll they did, was the American Express Saturday Night Live ad. Remember that? You had John Lovitz and Dana Carvey, that era, that cast.
That was my grown up, or that was my cast, because I was like 14, I was like 14 years old.
They talk about that a little on the Fly on the Wall podcast, where they were starting to get commercials and stuff, and Lauren got mad at them.
Why?
Just saying that we don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well. They did.
Just makes movies for everybody else. And
we don't. Yeah, where's John Lovett's movie, bitch? The number two was the Diet Pepsi ad where Michael J. Fox built a clone. Now, this
I remember
is
that
peak Michael J. Fox era. So, you know, it was big. There was a runaway Diet Coke machine for Diet Coke. Bob Costas was the spokesperson for that. It was the very first Bud Bowl, Budweiser, the very first Bud Bowl. It's hard to remember who won.
I think Bud won.
Yeah, I think Bud won. And then number five was the debut of the Best a Man Can Get, the Gillette commercial. And it was called Bros Winning. And now I don't know what the commercials will be. I'm sure they'll all be woke and boring. There might be some funny ones. We'll know because they'll release them all before the Super Bowl. Back then, you had to wait for the Super Bowl. I mean, even as 5-10 years ago, you had to wait. They weren't leaked ahead of time. Now they're leaked ahead of time, and everybody knows what they're going to be and how much they cost. And it was kind of a treat. Even if you didn't like football back then, you could tune in just to see the ads, and there was no lingerie bowl or any of that crap.
Puppy Bowl.
I don't think the Puppy Bowl was around in 1989.
No.
So anyway, good luck to whichever team you would like to win the game. Super Bowl 23, long, 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 long time ago. So good luck to the Bengals. That's what I say. We might as well take care of some of our other stuff before our guests come on. Jeff, you watched all of Reacher, right? You got some Reacher?
So good.
Reach around.
And nobody's ever made that joke before.
I know they haven't. Not on this show.
And Lee Child has a cameo in final episode. The guy that wrote the books.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
And all the episodes are out on Amazon. Now, you loved it. Is it going to be renewed?
It's already renewed.
Nice. What's it about? Because I never read the books and I didn't watch
Jack Reacher. He used to be a military policeman in the Army. And since he got out of the Army, he kind of got drummed out of the Army unceremoniously. But he's a good guy. And he doesn't have a house or anything. He just travels around place to place.
Like Kane in Kung Fu.
Yeah, kind of.
Or the A-team.
He just carries around a toothbrush and his debit card. And he just kind of writes wrongs wherever he finds them.
Okay. And one of the things I read is that people had a problem with Tom Cruise when he was cast to be in the film because he's too short. This guy's supposed to be tall and shit, right?
Yeah, he's like 6'4", 280 or whatever.
Yeah. And the actor playing him in this series is he carries the character, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And we know him from a show that we all loved when it was on called Blood Drive. And I guess he was the main guy in that. So
yeah.
What was his name again, that actor?
Alan
Richardson. So everybody check out. Everyone check out Reacher. Reach around. Let's see. There's a campaign going on to get everybody to watch Joe Pera Talks With You on HBO Max so he can get a new season. And we can get a new season. Hasn't been renewed yet with the sale of Adult Swim. So he needs views. So if you're a fan of the show or if you're a fan of Joe Pera, go and watch the show on HBO Max if you can, because it's a good show. It's funny. And Joe Pera is very relaxing and one of those voices that you can just listen to and drift off to sleep after you laugh.
If you've never seen the show before, just go in there and watch season one, Joe Pera reads the church announcements. That's the one where he discovers the Who.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, that's like the quintessential episode of the entire series so far.
I watch him on a channel that I've been subscribing to on YouTube for a couple of years. A friend Sean turned me on to that channel. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Where he built that chair with that guy?
Yeah, I can't find it because like my YouTube.
It's like primitive survival stuff.
Well, it's pioneer cooking, you know, pioneer cooking and how they lived in the colonial days. But it's a fun channel. The guy cooks things from cookbooks from the 1700s and 1800s. And for some reason, he connected up with Pera and they've been on a couple of episodes. Joe Pera makes a stool. And there's another episode where he cooks and makes some sort of chicken pie with him.
Nice.
That was pretty cool to watch. Might as well do our staff picks and then views and snooze, and then we'll welcome our guest on. So, Jeff, do you want to do views or snooze?
Yeah, let me pull it.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Number one is the Super Bowl or the Puppy Bowl. Which one are you going to go with?
I'll view both. Views both.
Yeah. are they on at the same time, or are they? Is it like the commercial Puppy Bowl's
like halftime, right?
Yeah, I don't know when they do it. Probably during halftime. I'm not going to watch any of the pregame. I'm just going to find out when kickoff is. That's when I'll turn on the television. And I'm not going to watch any of the halftime show. And I'm just going to watch the game. I'd watch the halftime show if I knew they were going to not cut out the swear words from those songs. But I just think that it's going to be a bunch of boring shit going on. So just want to watch the game.
Yeah, so I'll be
watching the Puppy Bowl.
Number two is called Inventing Anna. It's going to be on Netflix on the 11th. This is a movie about that Russian scam artist who posed as a German heiress. Remember her? Anna Delvey?
Sort of.
Do you remember that controversy? She was real pretty, redhead.
Yeah.
But she kind of scammed everybody, and she was supposed to be a spy and stuff.
And then she ended up going back to Russia, or did she get arrested?
I don't remember, but I'm going to watch this documentary. I think it'll probably be pretty interesting. It's a views for me.
What era was it?
From so it was like early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to snooze on that.
Yeah, I'll snooze that one too.
All right, number three is Bel-Air on Peacock. This is that Fresh Prince reboot.
If it was a comedy, I would watch it. But since it's a drama, I'm going to snooze it.
Yeah, I'm going to snooze it.
It's a snooze for me too. I never really got into the original Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, even though it was huge. It must have been on opposite something else that I watched.
I watched it once in a while. It was funny. I liked
Will Smith. I saw it every now and then, but I wasn't like a regular viewer.
My favorite character was the butler.
Yeah.
He was sarcastic and snotty.
I always liked Jeff in it because he pulled in his DJ just to have him on the show. And he was like the worst actor possible. He was always looking at the camera or looking at the studio audience, like smiling every time.
Right.
But yeah, he was probably my favorite character.
All right. Well, we'll follow up and see how those shows do. And if we like any of them, which I'm only going to watch the Super Bowl. So maybe I'll check out Inventing Anna. There's so much on Netflix. My God, there's so much. There's so much to watch. Where does it end? When does it end? I'm halfway through All of Us Are Dead. And Caitlin and I are slow rolling. What is that? Article 88.
Archive 81.
Archive 81. I've watched five of All of Us Are Dead. It's hard to like binge that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I made it through two of them.
Oh, you didn't finish? You didn't keep watching it?
No. It didn't hold my interest. It was
everybody in All of Us Are Dead is wearing bad idea jeans. They just have terrible ideas. Like everything that they think to do is fucking the worst decision they could possibly make.
Yeah. Yep. I was like, throw them out the window, throw them out the window, throw them out the window. But they never did it.
Yeah.
No. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish it. It's good. I think it's good, but I just don't know or that I can continue caring. Also, I'm just tired of watching people tear each other to pieces.
They can't all be Squid Game. So.
Right. Squid Game was unique, at least. It wasn't zombies. So this week, staff picks. I'll start. I watched this on HBO Max, and Jeff says it's not. Somebody said it's not going to be my staff pick, but I'm going to make it my staff pick anyway. It's Terry Bradshaw, Going Deep, the former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback's new series detailing his 50-plus years of anal sex conquest. Available on HBO Max, M-A-X-X-X. No, it's not about his anal sex conquest, but it is about Terry Bradshaw. And it's kind of done in a variety. It's, a documentary, but it's variety show style. And he sings and he opens up about his I don't know. He has a tendency to get his feelings hurt.
Does he talk about his old acting days, like being in Burt Reynolds movies and shit?
Yeah, the reason he ended up becoming an actor in the Burt Reynolds movies is because Burt Reynolds made fun of him. Everybody made fun of Terry Bradshaw, thinking that he was dumb, including Burt Reynolds, who did a variety show the night before the Super Bowl he was in. And but Terry Bradshaw ended up being friends with him, being an actor. And the thing that I found out, the most fascinating thing I found out in the documentary that I did not know about, is that when he went to college, when Terry Bradshaw was a college quarterback at Louisiana Tech, he was behind another quarterback who I think went out after 2 or 3 years. Phil Robertson, you guys know who that is, right?
No.
He is the oldest member of the Duck Dynasty clan.
Oh.
And he talks about, he goes, that guy never wanted to hang out. I just wanted to go duck hunting. You go, hey, Terry, you want to go duck hunting? No, I don't want to go duck hunting. But I like Terry Bradshaw. I found him to be an interesting person. And, you know, he's right when I started paying attention to football, he was the number one quarterback and won 4 of them. So that's pretty impressive. But, you know, that's pre-Brady, you know.
I never checked out his reality show, but
I didn't either.
It looked like it would be fun to watch.
He seems like a decent guy. Yeah, he seems like a decent guy. I like him. But the one that Jeff said I should recommend is Kiss Frontmen, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, which is on the Reels channel that I don't get, so I won't be watching it. But
I might read the Reels on Comcast.
Oh, yeah? Maybe I'll watch it. I just finished Paul Stanley's audiobook where he talks about, you know, people with facial differences and all sorts of things. You know, says everybody's stupid. It was a good audiobook. It was really eye-opening. And, you know, it led me to another audiobook about Casablanca Records, which was the record company that had Kiss and then a bunch of disco artists and Funkadelic and shit. It's a fascinating listening to how people did the radio A&R business back in the early 70s, where there's just drugs. Hey, can you add this song? Yeah, I just need a pound of weed. Here you go. Oh, okay. I need a bunch of shirts. That's how radio used to be. It's not that way anymore. You can't even, you can't do any of that shit. Now you'll get in trouble. You can't give people money to play songs, any of that stuff. I really missed out on some fun shit. I know people say it's shady, but if you're in that industry and you're getting all the perks, you're not going to care. So that's my staff pick.
Mine is State of the Union season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved that show when it was originally on. This is going to be on Sundance Now and AMC Plus. I imagine it'll be on the regular Sundance channel eventually, hopefully. Okay. This was that show where it's written by Nick Hornby and directed by Stephen Frears. And this is where the husband and wife would meet. They're like a strange couple, and they would meet in a bar every week before marriage counseling.
Okay.
Talk to each other for 10 minutes. And this time it's Brendan Gleeson and Patricia Clarkson.
Okay.
They're playing the couple. So I like them. And so this should be good. I'm looking forward to it. State of the Union season 2.
Awesome.
Mine is a movie I've been waiting to see since 2019, when it was supposed to come out. It's called Antlers. Mm-hmm. It's got Kerry Russell and Jesse Plemons. it's
Damon.
The little synopsis: in an isolated Oregon town, a middle school teacher and her sheriff brother become embroiled with her enigmatic student, whose dark secret leads to terrifying encounters with an ancestral creature. Yeah, basically, they find a Wendigo in a cave.
Oh, cool!
And keep it, and it gets caught in their basement, and it basically starts turning the dad, and he's got to feed the dad, but at the same time, this little kid by himself is taking care of his father, who's turning into a creature, and he's going to school. And the teacher just noticed something's really weird, and they think it's abuse. And so that's their angle going into it. But when they get there, it's something altogether different. So that's on HBO Max, and it'll already be out when this comes out.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And thank you, everybody, for listening to our little chat here. We are going to welcome our guests onto the show. So just give us a little bit of a break, and we'll be back with Alan and Donna Stair from the WKRP cast. Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for coming back and spending some time with us again.
Oh, yeah. We're very happy to be here.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you. All big fans, of course, of WKRP. And I wanted to bring this out because I don't think I had it last time. This is
very nice.
They were at Dragon Con, which is, you know, the pop culture and gaming convention Atlanta has every year. This was, I think, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, but both of them were together. They were the I can't ever remember words. It's so
they're late. The grand marshals of the Dragon Con.
It's because since we've last spoke, we have a baby in the house and now he's 9 months old. And when you're an old guy like me, you know, you get tired. But
T-shirt.
Thank you. My dad got this for me a couple years ago. He gets a kick out of living. He really gets a kick out of moving here and finding out that this city was the inspiration for that turkey episode of WKRP. But how's the podcast going? How many episodes are you in and how far along are you? And I believe we have some news to talk about.
Well, I think he is currently working on episode 66.
66. I'm transferring the audio to get ready to edit 66. We haven't actually recorded our part yet. We kind of are still in the research process and getting the script ready. Getting one of the scripts ready for an episode is pretty involved when we do all the research and all the weird side stuff and all the bizarre thing. Jeff is laughing. He listens every week and is into the weird little avenues that we take away from WKRP. Everything's inspired by. But like we just got a text earlier today from our neighbors down the lane. They said really enjoyed the podcast, loved the Monopoly history. Things like that that are thrown in there. They were playing Monopoly on Jennifer's desk in the open of the episode. So, of course, we had to do the history of Monopoly.
Yeah.
We did about 90 seconds on Monopoly. So you can check that out.
That's pretty cool. And about how many more episodes do you think you're going to do? Will you continue when you get to the end of the road? When the end of, are you going to do the reboot and then what are you going to do?
And there's a division. If you look on the, if you get on the WKRP fan pages, a lot of folks, it's almost like, you know, Star Trek original and Next Generation. Mm-hmm. You got some folks that love both. Others that, Captain Kirk's my only captain. What are you talking about? And Johnny Fever's my only morning man.
Right.
So you don't have somebody else step into that chair. So yeah, you got some folks that are like that. Others that love the fact that you still got to see the big guy and Herb and Les in the new iteration. So you get those characters back. But one of the big key factors for us is the fact that Hugh Wilson was not involved in the second version.
Okay.
And really, it's Hugh Wilson that makes WKRP. He's the voice, the humor, the attitude. It's all stemming from him. Bill Dial was the guy helming the new. Bill, yeah, he wrote the turkey episode, but Bill never ran the show. Hugh ran the show. And not having Hugh there really, really hurt the new WKRP.
Yeah, that's too bad.
In our opinion.
Yeah. That's everything is the opinion of the hosts.
That's fine. How's the response been to the podcast? Have you heard from a lot of from people that were involved? What have you been hearing?
We have had some amazing connections that we've come across through this. One of the most amazing happened early on, about the 10th episode. We got a call out of the blue from Colorado, and I picked up the call for some reason. Normally, I would have, you know, looked at it and thought, and, you know, it's a spammer or a, you know, telemarketer or whatever. Picked it up, and the man identified himself. It took me a minute to figure out who I was talking to, but it was season one story editor Tom Chihok, and friends had sent him a link to the show. And Tom thought we might have contact information from some of the original cast. Well, it was quite the reverse. Tom had the contact information. We started mining him for it. And we interviewed him. He was nice enough to sit for two different interviews about two different episodes that he wrote in the first season. So Tom was kind of a springboard to other contacts. And he's gotten us in with Max Tosh, associate producer,
who, if you watch every time that first board comes up over the city, the first name you see is Max Tosh, and you see that 88 times. Max was very involved with the show, and Max was a contact that we made through Tom Jayhawk. Tom told Max, he said, these guys are cool, and they seem to really love the show, and they're in it for all the right reasons, so you ought to talk to them. Well, Max has been very hesitant to actually talk to us. We send these little short emails back and forth, but I will just put in the header question, and then it'll be two lines. You do any more than that, you never hear from him. But you just do the two lines, he'll send something back. And he has given us the neatest little tidbits. And one of my favorite in the Daydreams episode, Herb is imagining that he's some South American dictator. He's got this Spanish accent that he's putting on. And he gets a phone call. And a waiter comes out carrying a tray on a silver tray. He has this very ornate princess phone, and he talks to whoever it is, and he hangs the phone up, and he looks up at the waiter, and he says something there that didn't jump out at us at all. But we noticed the waiter looked like somebody. It's like, we know that guy. It was the stage manager, Buzz Sapien. Well, we had seen Buzz in a previous episode, so we recognized him, but we weren't positive. So I shot Max a note. Well, I said, is this Buzz? We really think it's Buzz. It wasn't credited. Is that Buzz Sapien? He came back and he answered. He said, yeah, it's Buzz. That's why Herb says, gracias, Buzzy. He said, thank you, Buzzy, with his accent.
That's cool.
Catch that. Nobody I've talked to has caught that. I about fell out of my chair when I read that email, and I went to the audio, and it's plain as day when you know what he's saying. But up to that point, we hadn't given a thought to it. But he hangs up the phone and he's a gracious boozy. So little details like that Max was right there. He was standing on that studio. So he knew all those little details. So Max has been a really, really valuable resource. It's just knowing how to work with Max has been. Now we are excited. We don't want to jinx it, but we are coming up to Max's episode, Clean Up Radio Everywhere, which is the Jerry Falwell lookalike.
Right.
Wants to shut down WKRP. That is Max's first writing credit. Is that script. He co-wrote it with Hugh Wilson. So I sent him a note and I said, hey, we're coming up to your episode. Will you talk about it? Well, he sent back an email and said, yes, he would, but we have yet to pin down that date. Time is not locked in yet.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So, but it's very encouraging that he said that he would talk to us about that, because that, you know, it's a real milestone in his career. He did go on to have 8 other writing credits, but it was something that kind of springboarded him into producing. So it's a big one for him, and I think he's going to be happy to talk about it. And we're looking forward to getting that Max Tosh detail, because he really knows. So those have been fun, but then also we've kind of reached out to guest stars.
Some of the guest stars.
And we'll, I feel like a stalker when we're doing this. We'll grab somebody's name out of the credits and start tracking them down. And Michael DeBar was our first one. And he was actually a tip from a listener. When we did Hoodlum Rock, we called up Michael and said, would you talk about it? He very graciously said yes, but man, was it a quick interview. We were on with him for about 10 minutes.
It's a good one.
And I kind of felt as though this is someone that his whole life he suffered fools like us talking to him. Okay. He was very gracious about it, but he was ready to be done with it. So, but from there, we got brave. We just started, when we'd find a name, if they were still alive, we'd call them. And that became the criteria. If they're still breathing, we'll try and track them down. One of the most fun that we've had, the guy who played young Master Carlson, 11-year-old Arthur Carlson. His name on the show was Sparky Marcus. Well, it didn't take a whole lot of Googling to find out that his real last name is Asolio. We tracked him down, got in touch with him. I sent him a message through LinkedIn is how I got to him.
Wow.
And said, hey, we'd love to talk to you about the show. Well, it turns out he was a very prolific child actor. He worked a lot. but it was not a happy time in his life. He was doing it under the pretense his parents told him, if you don't do this, family's washed up. We're going to be bankrupt. You got to go work.
That's too bad.
And he was pressured into it. It wasn't something he enjoyed doing. He was really good at it, but it was not something that he enjoyed doing. So he was kind of hesitant. Well, we had a great conversation with him one afternoon, a pre-interview. And we're just laughing, and we're about the same age. I mean, I was 15 when I was watching him on the show when he was 11. So, you know, we're just having a good time talking. And I told him, I said, this is the interview, man. This is what we'll do. So he sat with us for 90 minutes on a Zoom call, and the guy's hilarious. He had these great stories from the set, but he also had these awesome stories from other shows he was on during that period. He was on the Bad News Bears TV show. He met George Lucas the year before Star Wars came out. George gave him a T-shirt and a poster.
Wow.
Which he still has T-shirt. So, yeah, just amazing stuff. And he has become this great friend now of us and the podcast. We text him periodically, and we stay in touch with him. So, you know, just connections like that have been really amazing. The way we got him to agree to talk to us was, we said, we only want to talk about your week on KRP. That's it.
Oh, okay.
But when we got into the discussion, he started bringing up these other things, steering him that way, because we didn't want to take him into these areas where he had these bad memories. But he's just very relaxed, and he was, you know, very personable. And suddenly these little stories started popping up. So we didn't guide him to them. He just kind of pulled them in as he would think of them. So yeah, we didn't really talk to him about those. But yeah, we had a couple of people that had some questions for him of other things that he was in, and we kind of stayed away from it. But he was just a fun interview, and we did post that entire interview is up on the podcast feed. So you can go hear that and check it out. But it's talking with Sparky Marcus Isolio, just a great guy.
That is great. When they feel comfortable with you as a interviewer or as a host, you know, and you can tell when they do, that's when they just start talking and they feel, you know, that's when you're having a real conversation instead of like you said, the bars came on, did a real quick and tight and goes, gotta go. Goodbye. We've had that before too. And it's just depending on the person.
Yeah. You know, another one, the guy who was the photographer in Filthy Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Filthy Pictures is the one where Andy and Jennifer go to do this photo shoot for a fundraiser there in Cincinnati. Turns out the photographer has got a one-way mirror. He takes pictures of Jennifer naked. He's going to sell them, make a fortune. The guy who played this photographer is George Weiner. George Weiner's got stellar career in Hollywood, 194 acting credits, something like that on his IMDb profile. We happened to find his son's cell phone number. We called his son.
That's great.
Hey, we were trying to find your dad, actually, but this is what we're doing, and we wanted to do, you know. And he said, sure, I'll call dad and give him your number, and if he wants to do it, he'll call you. Like 2 hours later, George Weiner is calling us, and again, a prince of a guy. This guy is so nice. And we talked for like an hour in the first phone call when he called, just laughing, cutting up, talking about things we'd seen him in, you know, stories from WKRP, just whatever. And then had an outstanding interview with him. He added so much. But the thing was, we found him between the two parts. That's an hour-long episode. And we broke it into 2 weeks. We happened to talk to him the week between episodes. So he's not in the first part, but then he's all over the second part and has a ton of fantastic comments and just the sweetest, nicest guy. And this guy he's a star. He's somebody you'd recognize. I mean, he's somebody who had, you know, a lot of work and is still working, but took the time out to talk with us and was just so, you know, free with his time and so great with his stories.
Yeah. In fact, I just saw him in a movie. I watched the Bad News Bears recently, a couple of weeks ago, because my wife had never seen it. She couldn't believe that they're drinking beer around the kids and they're all swearing and everything. But he played the manager of the White Sox, which is one of their teams that they played. Vic Morrow was the other manager, Vic Morrow. So it's a classic film. I highly recommend it. And if you're watching us and you've never seen WKRP, you need to go watch it because it's a great sitcom. I'm sure most of our listeners and viewers have seen it. And your podcast is a great companion for the episode. So I would check that out as well.
Something we would also mention, a lot of folks tell us, even though it's been a while since they've seen the episodes, we include enough story and description
and dialogue
we put in actual drops from the episodes. There's a lot of editing in each episode that they can get the story.
Yeah.
You don't really have to go watch the episode and then listen to our podcast. You can just listen to the podcast. And if you remember the episode, you're going to get the story.
Speaking of a lot of editing, you got a Howard Hessman tribute coming out this week. That must have taken some time to put together.
Tomorrow. Yeah, it's dropping in the morning. I don't know how you guys air check now on the radio, but back in the old days, we used to.
You don't. I do. I remember doing all that when I was a disc jockey, but we don't. Our host refuses to do that. We get feedback, but we don't sit with the PDs. No.
Had a road trip over the weekend. I was listening to some past episodes of the podcast, trying to get some ideas, and decided to make an air check of Johnny Fever. So these are only the times he was on the air, when he's talking out of a song, he's talking into a song, he's doing a break, he's doing a talk bit, he's doing an interview. It's only what a skim tape in the studio would have picked up of Johnny Fever through the first 65 episodes, because that's what we had the audio to work with. And then we're going to add to it when we complete our rewatch, we're going to add the rest of it in there, so you'll have a complete Johnny Fever air check.
That's awesome.
Only when he opened the mic and was talking to Cincinnati that you're going to hear tomorrow. And it's about 40 minutes worth of stuff, and it's funny as can be.
There is an explanation of what an air check is at the beginning before we start. Because I didn't know what an air check was.
Yeah, I came home all excited going, we're going to do this air check for Johnny Fever. And finally she stopped me after 10 minutes. I'm like, honey, air check? Threw a little explanation at the beginning, but then we just put a tone in and away he goes.
Well, that's a brilliant idea. Now, are you doing all that editing yourself? So you're putting in elements and things like that to make it flow?
It's beep, and then the last few bars of a song, Johnny talking, he goes into a commercial, beep, and it's the next clip.
That's
it's
great.
It's just Johnny on the air. One of my favorite episodes is Fish Story. That's the one where Johnny drinks himself sober.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get a lot of the background, what's going on when they're talking to the officer off the air and things that are happening in the studio when you watch the episode. With this, you only hear those parts of it where they're talking into the mic, taking a drink, doing the test, then beep, and then it's, now we're up to our sixth drink. It gives you a different perspective on the episode just hearing what the audience would have heard. So it's kind of a fun look at Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. And it's if you're a fan of radio in general, too, that's a great thing. That's an incredible thing.
Yeah, it'll be an awesome tribute for him.
Now, are you excited for Cincinnati to be in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, yeah. Cincinnati's going nuts right now.
Yeah,
we're also heading to Cincinnati. That's our other big news kind of coming up.
Oh, tell us about it.
We kind of in the fall had talked about going to Cincinnati, and it was kicked around for a little bit right around Labor Day, but we were in the process of selling off our stuff and moving and selling our house, so it didn't come to be. But we were talking about it over the winter, and a lot of people said Cincinnati on opening day is the city at its finest. They turn on the fountain in Fountain Square. Everybody comes out for a parade. It's just pageantry and it's nuts and the whole place is cool. So we've looked at it and we got settled in. We've moved. We're settled in. We're kind of established. So we are heading for that week of opening day, whether there's baseball or not. We're going to be in Cincinnati starting on the 29th, and we're going to be there through April 3rd. And we're inviting any listeners to the podcast to come on out and join us. We cannot pay any of your expenses. Entirely on you. But we'd love to have you. Come on and join us.
And on the website, you've posted an itinerary.
On the Facebook page, on the WKRP Facebook page, the cast page, we've got our itinerary on there. And we're inviting listeners, if you can make it, please come to the city, join us. If we get enough together, we're going to try and have dinner at the Cricket. Several events happened there through the course of the series.
And we're staying in the Flynn Building.
Yes, we are actually staying in the Flynn Building, which is the old Cincinnati Enquirer building, which
That's
is
cool.
now a Hampton Inn and Suites. So,
somebody wanted to say hello. He's going to be a fan of WKRP.
You better shape up, man.
Can I get a baby? Have you ever wondered? Baby. He doesn't have any head or not.
How about a booger? That's what you need to get.
Say hi, Gil. Oh, he just burped. That's awesome. Thank you, honey. That was great. That's the first his first appearance on the podcast, I believe.
Never work with kids or animals. They steal the show, man.
That's right.
How That's old right. is he?
He is. He'll be 9 months in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So 8 months.
Oh, man. That's the age of our granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Well, that's awesome, isn't it? He's going to be calling me Grandpa Dad by the time he's 10 years old. I'll be 60.
Are you going to try and hit some of the landmarks in Cincinnati that are still there from the opening credits?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember from first season when we were doing first season episodes and they had all the different locations. That was really the season where they got out into Cincinnati. We had this guy, his name's Chezzy De Benedetto. Chezzy grew up in Cincinnati, works downtown, and listens to the podcast. So he started sending us these notes with pictures and research and comparisons and all kinds of cool stuff, telling us, okay, you're coming up. This is where they show Johnny Fever lives. This is the building that they took the picture of. This is the location of it on the street. This is what's there now. This guy was great. So we started referring to him in the show as Chezzy D, our man in Cincy. And would just give him that credit. He loved it, which meant he started bringing us even more stuff. So we're referencing him all the time. Well, then we get to season two. No Cincinnati references. They don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. They're not. It's not nothing for Chezzy to do. So we got in touch with Chezzy and said, hey, man, we'd love a tour of Cincinnati if you can do it. So he's looking at the week. He's going to try and give us an afternoon. And we're going to hit the really important sites, like the building that they used as the exterior for Jennifer's condo. The building that they used for Johnny's apartment and the bar, the Cricket. We're staying in the Flynn building, so we're going to see that one definitely.
That's
the fountain,
cool.
Which they turn on every spring on opening day is when they turn on the fountain in Fountain Square.
Well, listen, we look forward to following along on your journey when you go there, and we look forward to the Howard Hessman tribute, which, by the way, will be out now if you're listening or watching our podcast. It's out, so you can find the WKRP cast on any of your podcatchers. Go to the iTunes store or the iTunes podcast app. You'll find it there. The most recent episode is A Simple Little Wedding, but of course, by this time, there'll be another episode out. You guys, thank you so much for coming on the show, and please plug away. We want everybody to be able to find your show.
All right. Well, you definitely plugged us right there. Yeah, just get on, subscribe. We love feedback. Get on the Facebook page. Talk to us on there. We love to talk trivia, WKRP, just whatever you want to do.
It's an amazing tribute to an amazing television show, and it's shows like yours and to keep the spirit of these things alive for future generations. Because, you know, it could be on TV in 20 years from now, but your podcast will also be out there in the ether, so people can find out how it affected people and can, you know, get little nuggets of trivia that they wouldn't find other places. So, you know, I think it's amazing, the show that you do and your tribute to the show in general. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, our daughter and her husband are 20-somethings. They've started watching this and listening to the podcast. They laugh just as hard at it as we do.
Yeah.
It's generational. I mean, it appeals to just about anybody. If you watch WKRP, you're going to get a laugh.
Good art is good art. Even if you don't necessarily know the references, you're going to laugh at good comedy and good writing and good acting. It's just the rule. That's the way it is. And WKRP follows that rule. So very much so.
It's sad that we had to lose Howard Hessman, but it actually got some episodes on TV anyway again.
Yep.
A lot of people were watching over the weekend and stuff. MeTV had a little mini marathon of episodes.
We noticed a pretty big bump up in listenership.
Yeah.
And the Who's going to go back to Cincinnati soon. First time since.
Is this the first time they've been there since the 70s? Yeah. Wow. I guess. Yeah, that was that big show.
Disaster.
Do you remember the WKRP episode?
I remember the cold end where they had the graphic up and they talked about the show. Yeah.
The city was so upset about the fact that we're doing this episode when it was in production that the CBS affiliate would not give them footage of the candlelight vigil. They wanted to cut to footage of the actual candlelight vigil, but the CBS affiliate said no. They were against it. They said they were going to block it out in Cincinnati when it ran. They said, we're not giving you any footage. But then when they got to the cut, the week before it was supposed to air, they showed it to them through closed circuit. And these guys were bowled over by how incredible it was. And they said, well, of course we're going to air this. But by this time it was too late. So they have to go to that graphic of just the blurred out lights instead of the actual candlelight vigil. Had the TV station cooperated, we'd have had footage of the candlelight vigil that happened at the site.
Wow. Yeah, I remember being a kid and watching it when it first aired. And just, it was one of those things when you don't really understand, I guess, when you're 9 or 10 or whatever. And it just, you know, it was like a gut punch, like, oh, you know. And you again, I had never been to a show, so I'm envisioning in my mind how tragic it was. But, yeah, it's terrible. But they're going back, so I guess finally they're able to put the memory aside and play there. And the Who are still pretty good in concert, even though they're old. They're still great in concert. I they're one of my favorite bands, so I love seeing them whenever I can. I hope they come to Atlanta on their tour.
We've never had the chance to see them live.
Any progress with getting Gary Sandy or Tim Reed to show up on the podcast?
You know, I still drop Gary a note now and then, and yeah, we do have a couple of interviews coming up. Eileen Barnett, who played Arlene in Ask Arlene, the woman who funked her head on it, passed out from the Valium, got a hold of her. She said that it's one of the best acting experiences she's had in her career. She loved her time in WKRP, and she'd love to talk about it.
Oh, that's great.
We're going to be talking to her this weekend. We've also got Stacey Heather Tolkien lined up, who played Bunny Tarlick. Herb's daughter.
Yeah.
She was on the Real Families episode, and then also she appears in the final scene of Frog Story. So she's wanting to talk.
That is cool.
So we'll have those coming up in the next couple of months.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Any talk of doing a different show after WKRP? Because you only have 88 episodes.
One that really we've just been discussing the last couple of weeks kind of seriously is Night Court. Because it's kind of got the same 80s references, the political references, and this reboot is coming in the fall on NBC where it's Harry's daughter. So there's going to be some word out there about Night Court. So we've kind of talked about that because it kind of touches some of the things we like to hit on, politics and current events and the 80s.
Yeah.
So that might be one, but then also Barney Miller, possibly.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. And another one is Soap, kind of interested in.
So
we had Wojo on our podcast from Barney Miller.
Yeah, our interview with our interview with Max Gale ran so long we had to split it into two episodes. He was such a nice guy and a great talker.
I really loved that show and Ron Glass, and I mean those guys were just so funny, and Abe Vigoda, of course, you know. So I mean, there's a lot there. It's just the thing about it is, and what we've kind of figured out with WKRP, we're going back so far. If we're going to do interviews, it's hard to find guys to talk to and what it was like actually there, because a lot of them are dying.
I'd love to see hear you guys do any of those shows for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of depressed looking at the episode count, how close we are getting to the end, because it's been so much fun. And just spending time with these characters. And we talked about it when Frank Bonner passed away. We've never met these people. We don't know them. But we spend so much time with them each week researching the show. We kind of feel like we know him. And when Frank Bonner passed away, it was a blow. We really, you know, felt a loss there. And kind of same now with Howard Hessman.
Yeah.
So
there are people who made an impact on your life, you know, and if you really are passionate about a show or an artist, a musical artist or something like that, and you know, everybody comes to an end, but when they do, it's wow. And it takes you immediately back to those moments, you know, Hessman for sure. And, you know, this year alone has been, wow. Oh my God, that person. Oh my God, that person. So, you know, and the older we get, the more the people we grow up with that were slightly older than us are going to, you know, going to be gone. So,
right, yeah.
But, you know,
yeah, I mean, I remember my dad always seeing somebody on TV and going, now how old is he again? How old is he again? And I would always think, why does he care?
Yeah.
Now I know exactly why he cares.
Yes, you do.
We do the same thing all the time. It's like, how old are they?
Yeah, I know exactly that feeling. And I'm like, oh, I don't even want to think about it. All right, Alan and Donna Stair, WKRP Cast, thank you so much for coming back on the show. We wish you so much more success. And let us know if you continue after WKRP, because we're going to listen and we want our listeners to listen to you guys as well. So thank you very much. And good luck in Cincinnati and have a good time.
Yeah, have a great trip.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, so thanks again to Alan and Donna Stair from the WKRP Cast. Everybody check it out if you haven't yet, if you're a fan of WKRP. We'll be back next week with the usual shenanigans. Don't forget to follow us on social media at @radio_labyrinth on Twitter, Radio Labyrinth. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook. We have the Radio Labyrinth Radio Shack, which is Dustin created and moderated and a lot more fun probably than our regular Facebook page. And do us a favor. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe and like the video and tell it, your friends about it, share it, and spread the word, man. We've got a lot of stuff coming up I think you're going to enjoy. And until next week, please remember to keep it canon.